Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's 8:09. Welcome back. You are listening to Steele Talking, and I'm your host, Geralyn Steele. Phone lines are open for you right now at 651-989-9226. Or if you're outside the metro area, 1-866-989-9226. And what are we talking about? Well, everyone's talking about how Kaepernick, you know, kneels down and how disrespectful it is to the flag and how awful that is and how all the players have been kind of following suit today. I mean, I think just about every game it was talked about, if I'm not mistaken about that. Right, Jonathan? Because really it's a bit much to see, but it's necessary. What do you think?
Well, this was the first full day of the season where you could have player response to it because this wasn't the first game. There was a game that took place on Thursday night, and then this all came out Friday night. And you had responses to it. You had responses to that, and then also President Trump not inviting basically the Golden State Warriors, the NBA champions, to the White House, which has become a ritual. Every sports champion team from the professional ranks and then even from major college sports go to the White House and meet with the president.
Mm-hmm.
And there had
that
been,
was Steph Curry, right, who said no?
Steph Curry has been vocal against the president and against going to the White House.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not the only one. This mm-hmm. has been sort of an organizational thing since before the end of the NBA season.
Mm-hmm.
The Warriors were the odds-on favorite to win the title. And
yeah, but that's not what I'm talking about, though. I don't want to talk about the White House visit because that's a whole other thing.
Right. It all ties in. It all ties in because it was all put together. But as far as the NFL and what he was saying about the NFL, this was the first day that you could see any sort of real mm-hmm. reaction to mm-hmm. it because this was the first Sunday after everything had been said.
Here's my problem with it. I don't understand why we're making a really, 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 really huge, big, gigantic thing out of him kneeling and them coming together and not saluting the flag or not standing for the flag. We've had that conversation over and over and over again. Why aren't we screaming about our president of the United States, the most powerful position in the world, calling Kaepernick a son of a bee? That's the news story for me. And what if someone called Trump's 10-year-old or 11-year-old son a son of a bee? How would he feel about that? You're talking about disrespecting the flag, and you're calling this player, you're calling his mother a bee? Really? You are a son of a bee. He said it.
Yes.
No problem saying it. Proud to say it. Threw his head back as if, oh, I did something. I'ma say it. We know that's who he is when he was campaigning. But this is too far. This is what we should be screaming about. What are we going to tell our children who sat and heard this president say that with no disgust, no apology? He could have come back and said, okay, I went too far. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. This is how I feel, but I shouldn't have said it. If he had made a comeback even to say I shouldn't have said it, oh, no, standing by it, proud of it. Didn't that bother you to your core, Jonathan?
To my core, it's gotten to the point where I'm numb. I've gotten numb. I don't expect him to be any different. I don't expect him to be apologetic about it. This is who he is. Does that make it right? Absolutely not. It doesn't make it right.
We cannot afford to be numb.
For me, it's more about the sentiment of, and again, you have to remember where this gentleman comes from. He comes, and I don't want to say this as I'm anti-business, But people said, we need the people that support him, the people that vote for him, we need a businessman as president. We need a businessman to run the country to see what's going on.
You believe that?
I think there are a lot of people here.
I'm asking you, do you believe that?
Do I believe we need a businessman?
Yes.
No, I don't. I don't think that when you run businesses and you don't have any sort of idea of what public policy is, maybe you can do this and you can run for mayor, you can run for city council person, you can even run for senator, because you don't have the enormous impact that you do as the president of the United States. To go straight from business to president of the United States, business mogul to president of the United States, there's a lot of in between that you're missing.
Well, I don't understand why not. We ought to be having the discussion all day today when it came to the sports. They talked about it on all of the shows, all the news shows from CNN, MSNBC, CBS, you name it. It was talked about how they were kneeling and standing together and locking arms and, you know, touching each other, saying, you know, we're going to stand with you in solidarity. No, you do not have to stand and face that flag. But we're not even talking about the son of a bee. We're not talking about that comment, and I have a real problem with that. By the way, you called him a gentleman. That struck me, shook me to my core. Can I just say that? Because when you say gentleman, that says to me, you know, an honorable man. But maybe you're referring to the second definition, which is a polite or formal way to refer to a man.
I also don't want to get our FCC license pulled, so we'll go with that. No, but when I look at what the way he's talking, the way he places these impetus, is impetus in a lot of what he says, especially in a topic like this, it's very pro-business and very not necessarily anti-employee, but the employee should know their place.
Okay, but I'm trying to understand what you're saying. Are you saying that that's a problem?
Saying that is a problem, yeah. I'm saying that can be a problem because people have come out and you look at commentary, there are some people that are saying, no, you're not getting the point of what they're doing. There are other people that are coming out and saying, this disgusts me, this is anti-patriotic, this is maybe not traitorous, but basically going that way. And you are an employee of that business, and you should do what the business tells you to do, and don't do what you're doing on company time instead of, you know, you need to go out there. You need to show your solidarity for the country. You need to stand and hold your heart.
How dare him tell us what we should do? He ought to know what his code of ethics ought to be, and you should stand with it. Now, I have been very respectful to this president. I have called him Mr. President. I have called him President Trump. I'm not the one standing here saying he's 45. But how dare you call out this man, Kaepernick, and call him a son of a bee? I am appalled. As a mother, as a sister with three brothers, as a mother who has a son, I am absolutely appalled by it, furious about it. How dare him? And I don't know why we are not concentrating on that. Yet I keep seeing image after image after image of ball players kneeling or standing together. They ought to be able to do that. But he should never be able to call this person a son of a bee. How dare him? I have no patience for this. It has gone too far. It has gone too far for a long time. But when are we ever going to get enough of it? You heard Jonathan say, oh, I'm numb. I'm just numb. That's what it is. I'm so numb. How can we can't afford to be numb. Please understand that. It is now 8:17. If you'd like to call in, you are welcome to do so at 651-989-9226 or outside of the metro area, 1-866-989-9226. If you are not appalled by this, something is wrong with us. When that doesn't bother us to our core, when you didn't get shivers, you didn't stop and go, what? You laughed? Did you laugh? Tell me, how did you laugh? How did you think that was funny? I will never understand that. It is totally unacceptable. Unacceptable. So where do we go from here? This is bottom We've got nuclear wars being threatened. We've got a president that's talking about going into Venezuela and starting a war there and continuing wars in Afghanistan and having a fight with Iran and fighting on the whole Paris Agreement. It just goes on and on and on. And then you take the time at a rally to call this young man a son of a bee. A son of a bee? There's so much to say about that. And I'm stunned, absolutely stunned, that you don't feel the same way. Let's go to Linda in Little Falls. Linda, welcome to CCO.
Yes, hello. Well, Trump's choice of words are not always the best. I don't know where he comes up with some of his terms, but freedom of speech works both ways. That flag, he's surrounded by generals. Trump is surrounded by generals, and that flag means a lot to people who have been in the military and fought and died. I mean, you're seeing their best friend shot right beside them, and then they live. But I don't know. I think, you know, this is America. They have a Pledge of Allegiance, National Anthem, or both at these games. I think the players should support that. I don't know.
And what do you think about son of a bee?
Well, like I said first, Trump's choice of words are not always the best. It's not real.
But what do you think about it? What do you feel about it? Does it bother you at all?
I wish, a little. I wish he would have used other words. He must have said it. He must have been in a hurry or something.
He wasn't in a hurry.
Well,
he was at his big event with thousands and thousands of people looking on, as well as the millions of people watching on television,
okay,
giving that speech. No.
So listen to this. So he used those choice of words because it must really bother him. It must really bother Trump.
That's okay. I mean, you're okay with our president calling one of the players a son of a bee.
I think, well, it's his passion. It's just Trump. You can't control him. I mean,
well, I can promise you this. If I call my boss's child a son of a bee, I won't have a job. If you call your boss's child a son of a bee, you won't have a job.
Mm-hmm.
How about that?
But I understand that. But also the flag is very important, too. It means a lot.
I'm stuck on the son of a bee. How do you disrespect someone like that, but you're talking about respecting a flag? This is a human being. A human being that he doesn't know personally. Thanks for calling in, Linda. I appreciate you calling in.
Yeah,
thank you so much.
How many people died for that flag?
How many black people died for that flag? They were made to fight for that. Are you kidding me? That's a whole nother conversation. Linda, thank you for calling in. Let's go to Jay calling in from Bethel. Jay, welcome to CCO.
Hi. I never heard you worked up so much before.
Well, I am worked up. You're absolutely correct. I'm offended as a mother, as a woman, as a daughter, and a sister of brothers.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, the other side of it is, I was thinking about, is that boot camp situation. If you ever hear a sergeant yelling at people, too, it's not very respectful that way either. So I'm looking at it from that standpoint, and he's really took on some raw stuff, and I'm not trying to defend him at all because, you know, he's off the hook a lot of times. But, boy, I tell you, we got to get the country together instead of dividing it, too. You know, and, you know, you can be drawn into shallow water, but, you know, it's easy to be that way every day of the week. You know, I wake up like that sometimes, too, but I'm not the commander-in-chief either. But I'm worried about the industrial complex that we got going in this world, too. I don't want no war, but, you know, I think we got to just get a little bit more united, I think, you know.
Thanks for calling in, Jay. I appreciate
it. Thank you. I listen to your show.
Thank you. Let's go to Carol in Plymouth. Hey, Carol.
Geraldine, I'm as worked up as you are. I am stunned by these callers. He was tired. Mm. I mean, there is no excuse for what was said. And I stand firmly behind Colin Kaepernick and all the players taking a knee, holding each other, embracing each other in unity. I salute all of the owners that have made public statements against what Trump said. There was a gentleman earlier on the sport in the courts show that Eric Nelson had, and he said, you know, the president can't be telling people these things legally. It's against the law for him to interfere like this. There have been excuse after excuse that Trump has had given to him, and I'm sick of it. He is crazy.
Good enough, Carol. Thanks so much for calling in. I appreciate it. Let's go over to Michael calling in from Eagan. Michael?
Yes, thank you very much. Well, I'm not a Trump fan, but I'm in full support of what he said. I think what Colin Kaepernick and the rest of the NFL players are doing is disgusting. It's irresponsible. It's and I think they have a responsibility to set a good example. And for them to politicize the national anthem like they're doing is rude and disrespectful. That's number one. Number two, you questioned another caller about his use of the of a word or a phrase, SOB, and you were upset about that. But yet I hear your own announcers on the show taking the Lord's name in vain all the time. That's offensive to Catholics. It's offensive to Christians. And your own announcers use it on a regular basis. They take the Lord's name in vain, which is very offensive. And then to have you sit and chastise some woman because she wasn't offended by what Trump said, I find that just to be so hypocritical and irresponsible that, you know, just a typical liberal response is all I have to say about
it. Well,
let
me ask you one question before you go, Michael. Have you ever heard me say, call someone a son of a bee?
I didn't say you and your announcers said that word. I said you and your other announcers take the Lord's name in vain.
And what way is that? And what way is that? What way is that?
I've heard other announcers say that on a regular basis.
I have taken the Lord's name in vain?
Pardon me?
I have taken the Lord's name in vain.
I have not said that I have heard you, but all your other, many of your other announcers have.
But Michael, I'm talking to you. I'm the one that's upset about this. I'm the one that's concerned that we're not upset that the president of the United States. No, I'm talking to you, though, Michael. I'm talking to you. I want to know what you think about this.
Your announcers have been caught red-handed, and now you're trying to pass the buck.
I am not the one using the Lord's name in vain. I have no clue what you're talking about, Michael. But what's most unfortunate is that you are punting. You decided not to talk about Trump. You are okay with what's happening and that Trump is against Kaepernick. And nobody, you are not paying attention to this man. You are not paying attention to this man. Ewing this. I'm the hypocrite, yet you just admitted that I'm the one that does not use the Lord's name in vain.
Like an honest conversation.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable, Michael. Unbelievable. I don't know what is happening to us. If you can watch horror movies or torture movies, let's talk about torture movies, where you see children abused and beaten and dismembered, and you don't feel it, something is wrong with you. If you can sit and listen to the president of the United States use that type of language like it was nothing, something is wrong with us. What are you saying? That because you heard someone use the Lord's name in vain and it wasn't me, you call me on my show? And you say, no, I haven't heard you say it, but you need to get your people straight. Are you kidding? What happened to us? Was it this perfect storm, convulsion of just reality shows and being able to hear people curse all over the television and being able to watch horror movies all the time and being able to see deviants at every turn. And now we've gotten to the point where we excuse it. We're not moved by it at all. What has happened to us? Let's go to Derek in Minneapolis. Derek, welcome to CCO.
I just wanted to say that I think that the problem was going on right now.
Derek, you have to turn your radio down.
Oh, I'm sorry. Can you hear me now?
Yes, thank you.
Okay. I'm sorry about that. What I was going to say is I think with the kneeling thing that's going on, I think we look at it from, it's always going to be about race right now, because if you talk to somebody who's in the service that's black, they'll say they went overseas to fight for the freedom of everybody to have what they want to say, right? But if you're somebody that's service member that's white, and let's say, I'm not even going to say just white, let's say they're white and they voted for Trump, they're going to say that you kneeling is disrespectful. But actually, you know, the soldiers went overseas to fight for us, do what we want to do. Even if it's wrong, if it's bad, let's say you want to burn the flag, it's still your right. You know, we're not ran by, like, you know, an uncivilized nation. You know, we're all civilized here, but it's just that, you know, I don't know. I think we're at a point now to where, because I'm an African-American or black person who lives in Minnesota, right?
Yes, you are. And the question that I have for you, Derek, is not about them kneeling. It's about him calling Kaepernick a son of a bee. I'm stuck on that.
Okay, here's my issue with that. You get what you're gonna get when it comes to Donald Trump, right? I think honestly he made that comment to kind of deflect about what's going on right now in North Korea and Russia. I think he's a mastermind of deflecting things and what's going on with him.
But so, is it excusable, Derek?
Listen, I'm 100%. I'm not a Trump supporter at all. But at the same time, I feel like I'm real big on freedom of speech. And even though it's our president, he's going to set a better example. I don't have a problem with that. I mean, we all know your last call to Carter just now. He was so upset about, you know, it's funny to me when people talk about, you know, and Trump saying this, and they want to bring in, because I'm not really into religion at all. I'm borderline atheist, but I think that when people talk about things like this, they always want to bring about religion. But religion is supposed to be about compassion and caring about, like, I don't think anybody cares anymore. Like, how can you? They're kneeling for a reason. If you don't understand why they're kneeling, then you can't. I mean, you're a part of the problem too. And I'm not even saying I agree with the people that kneel too, because I think it's problems on both sides of the board. So,
all right, I got it, Derek, and I appreciate you calling in. But I want you to know that people do care. People do care, and I'm grateful for that. We're gonna take a break. We'll be back with my next guest in just a moment.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
It is now 8:35 here at WCCO. Welcome back. You are listening to Steel Talking. I've taken an aspirin. I've calmed down, and I'm good. How about you? Madaria Arredondo. You know that name, right? Arredondo, I'm sorry. Madaria Arredondo. We've been hearing that name a lot. I remember reading about him. I had to read his bio so quickly when he became chief of police for Minneapolis. This is a big deal, right? It's really a big deal for Minneapolis. Well, Youth Link is the name of an organization that is trying to combat youth homelessness and to help raise awareness. They're having a big sleepout tonight in Minneapolis, and the new police chief is actually there with them, and he's joining me right now. How are you, Police Chief Arredondo?
Good evening, Ms. Steele. I'm doing wonderful. Yourself?
I'm doing very well. First of all, congratulations on your position. There are, you know, as an African-American woman, many, many, many people in the community have been talking about this, black, white, and otherwise, and it's really a big deal. Does it feel like an awesome responsibility for you?
You know, I'm certainly meeting this responsibility, and it is an awesome responsibility, you know, but I'm taking it in stride, but I'm also just so humbly reminded of the legacy of so many African-American leaders here in the city and in the state that came before me that really paved the way to give me and so many other young leaders the opportunity. So I'm very grateful.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Staying busy, but I'm doing well.
Staying busy. That's an understatement.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about Youth Link and how you got involved in this sleepout.
Well, you know, Youth Link and the Minneapolis Police Department have been allies and partners for so many years. And, you know, the wonderful our city's icon, Dr. Heather Huseby, who's head of Youth Link, has done so much groundbreaking work in terms of really providing resources and positive programming, but also just importantly, bringing awareness and education to our city regarding what so many look upon as a very invisible population, and that's Twin Cities youth who every day and night are homeless. And so this is a Night of Hope is an opportunity for us to shed light on this situation, but to also provide hope and bringing together both our business and community stakeholders together to really try to raise funds for such an important cause. And these young people are our future leaders here in the city. And so Minneapolis Police Department, and certainly myself, just eager to step up and do what we can.
And how is it going so far tonight?
It's going wonderful. We've been having breakout sessions. We just heard the wonderful Sounds of Blackness, by the way.
Awesome. And
so, it's been really wonderful. And it also is a way for many of our civic folks to connect, network, and look at ways that we can become force multipliers and trying to get some resources to our young people here in the city of Minneapolis.
Let's talk about resources for a moment. About a decade ago, it seemed like we had more resources for the homeless youth than we do today. Is that true?
You know, I think that with any developing city, you know, there are going to be priorities that our city officials will look at, and whether that's infrastructure, whether that's development, they're going to look at many of these things. And I think that it's important for us to know that in order for us to truly be the most successful city we can, we cannot leave behind our young people. And so we can try to make sure, as we're prioritizing these measures going forward, that we include such things as housing and employment and educational resources for our young people. So I'm hopeful and I'm confident that as we move forward, like I said again, our elected officials, our civic leaders and community leaders will keep our youth in mind and on the radar as we start making those decisions.
Mm-hmm. As we start making those decisions, though, you know, I'm hoping that people, we are dealing with so much stuff right now. You know, we have a lot on our hearts and our minds. It used to be when my mother was raising us, six children, you know, she was a stay-at-home mom until my father was killed by a drunk driver. And then she had to really take on the responsibilities of raising a family and making sure that we go to college, which is what my father wanted. And so it was a whole different time. It turned around. She was a different woman at that point. And so I can just imagine what it must be like for the children who maybe have two working parents and they're still homeless, or those that have one parent and they're still homeless and that parent is working. That has to be a challenge. Does it begin with making sure that the parents or the guardians of these homeless children have a job and the means to live, to have a place to live?
Yeah, that's certainly said, you know, most things that they say, all politics are local. And certainly as we talk about the values of our community and values of our city, they start in the home as well. And they start local as well. And so certainly I think making sure that we as a city can do all that we can to provide employment and resources for the parents of our youth. I also want to say, as you talked about how your dear mother raised you and your siblings, and certainly as my parents raised me, we also had the assistance of our community or a village. And so I think it is still true to this day that it does take a village to raise a child. We know that we have a very ever-changing and fluid and dynamic population, and we have a lot of parents that just by necessity, they're not always going to be in the homes because they're working one or two jobs to provide for their families. So maybe it's the neighbor down the block who helps the kids through mentoring or throwing softballs to them at the local park. But it really is going to take a collective effort for our communities to really make sure that we have and keep our youth's best interests in heart.
We've been trying to eradicate poverty in the state of Minnesota for many, many years. And now there's been some collective effort towards that. And I keep saying to myself, do we need to get rid of poverty first? And it will automatically get rid of homelessness. But it sure doesn't seem that way.
You know, I think that both issues are so important that I don't think it's an either or. I think that we have to, you know, we have to have the fight on both fronts. And I think that's what we'd really have to focus on, that there's a there's enough people, I think, that we could galvanize to really take on both of those challenging issues. And so I think we have to hit it from both fronts.
So what can we do?
I think, once again, bringing awareness. I think that it is, I know that we're all busy in our day-to-day lives, but I think doing whatever we can, and sometimes that effort may be, maybe it's being able to provide money to youth link. Maybe it's taking a couple of hours out of the month to help out at a local youth center. I just think that wherever those spaces are, that we can really contribute and build a relationship with our young people, I think that's all positive.
If people want more information, I know they can go to youthlinkmn.org. Again, that's youthlinkmn.org. Can they donate there as well?
Absolutely. They have a donation site on their website, And so people whatever they can give, Youth Link will certainly appreciate it.
Are you the first police chief of Minneapolis to do this?
I am not. My predecessor, former Chief Harteau, really started this off a few years ago, and I'm very proud to carry our involvement with the Minneapolis Police Department forward with our Night of Hope with Youth Link. So I'm proud to be carrying on that important participation.
Police Chief Madaria Arredondo, thank you so much for joining us tonight. We sure appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
All right, it's called Sleep Out. Sleep Out. And again, this is Youth Link. It's an organization that is really trying to combat youth homelessness and to help raise awareness. This big sleep out that's happening tonight in Minneapolis, the police chief is actually there. He's actually there. So if you want more information, you want to know how to give or how you can help, again, go to youthlinkmn.org, youthlinkmn.org. We're going to take a break.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
It is now 8:48 here at WCCO. Welcome back. You are listening to Steel Talking. Coming up next in just a few minutes, Center Stage, all things arts and entertainment. We just believe you ought to know about it. We'll have to look and see if there are any tickets left for us to give away tonight. I'll let you know that coming up after CBS at the top of the hour. To have a totally different conversation. Did you read this article in the City Pages just 2 days ago on September 22nd? The newest battle coming to Minneapolis, rent control. That's the title of the article. And as soon as I saw it, I had to stop and read it. The activist group Inquilinx Unidex, Tenants United, has proven to be an intrepid irritation to the Twin Cities' most prolific landlords as of late. That's how the article starts. They've organized brigades of low-income renters to halt rent hikes of more than $100, demanded repairs to neglected properties, and pushed back against the seemingly intractable forces of housing displacement in a rapidly developing metro. Okay, that's a good start. Now, to cap the National Renters Week of Action, it goes on to say, they're going to City Hall on Friday at 2 p.m. to rally for rent control, a notion never before practiced in Minneapolis and only alluded to by the most progressive of city leaders as a pipe dream. This particular company doesn't have an exact formula for what form of rent control they want. And I shouldn't call it a company, really. They're just organized to be called Inquilinx. Oh, let me get it right. Inquilinx Unidex. Doesn't have an exact formula for what form of rent control they want. They're still looking into options, but Friday's rally will be a message to city council members and candidates. Minnesota statute generally outlaws rent control. To get it, Minneapolis needs to change the city charter through referendum. Let's just stop there for a minute. Do you know how hard that is? Oh, man. Referendums don't go over as easily as they used to decades ago. There's plenty of people to fight it, let me tell you. And they vote and say, no, I don't think so. This won't be easy, it says in the article. No kidding. Across the country, rent control prohibitions are more the norm than the exception. That's because price limits seem contrary to the United States' strong traditions of private property, says the University of Minnesota professor Edward Goetz, who studies housing policy. Here's what's frightening about this article, and very timely, by the way. With the hurricanes, Harvey, Maria, Irma. My grandmother's name was Irma. Spelled differently, but her name was, and she was a feisty woman.
Spelled differently?
Yeah, spelled differently.
I-R-M-A.
Mm-hmm. E-R was hers.
No. It was I-R.
No, I'm saying my grandmother.
Oh, your grandmother's name.
My grandmother's Irma, but with an E.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. How about that?
You learn something new every day.
Every day. I would not want a hurricane named after me. Can I just say that? I would not. So let's just make that clear. I find it fascinating because in one of the television news shows, they talked about how there are lots of the one percenters that are just waiting to buy that property on the islands, you know, whether it's Puerto Rico or St. Thomas or St. Croix or what is it called?
There are so many islands.
Barbuda.
I know there's Bermuda. I think there's Barbados.
Nope, Barbuda.
I think there's Barbuda.
Barbuda?
I think it is.
No.
I have to look. There's so many islands down there.
Turks and Caicos, and
like you said,
have
the Virgin
you been
islands.
To any of those, by the way?
No, I wish I have. I wish I have had been. I haven't.
Can I just say how devastating these hurricanes have been, and then with the another 5.9 earthquake today in Mexico,
My goodness.
You know, on the West Coast. You just kind of, it's frightening what's happening in this Gulf of Mexico and this, you know, the waters.
Caribbean region.
Absolutely.
After
even
this,
Cuba was hit.
Yeah. After the 7.1 earthquake hit in Mexico, near Mexico City, just watching the buildings that people were standing outside and taking video with their camera phones, with their smartphones, and just watching buildings that were there 1 second and then all of a sudden just collapsed. It's just frightening to me, just to see that devastation happen when everything just looks fine, looks calm, and then all of a sudden it's just gone.
Yeah, and by the way, it is Barbuda.
Okay.
And
Barbuda.
Barbuda. It is a small island in the Eastern Caribbean that forms part of the sovereign Commonwealth nation of Antigua and Barbuda.
Okay, so it's Bermuda, but Barbuda.
Barbuda, okay. Yeah. It's remarkable, the devastation. And to say that, you know, some of these, like, the dam broke. Didn't it break today in Puerto Rico?
I have not been paying attention to all the aftermath that has continued.
I think they evacuated 7,000 people in the last 3 days.
Well, they were talking after this hurricane hit, after Maria hit, that people are going to be out of power potentially for up to 6 months.
Mm-hmm. But they talked about that even in places like Texas, where they were saying, you know, the devastation there, it could take months to get everybody's power back. It did not. It did not. And granted, there were a lot of electricians, a lot of people, the experts that went from other states, which was a beautiful thing.
And
can I just say thank you to every one of you that took your truck, took your equipment. You know, if you were sent by the company or if you went on your own, God bless you for doing that.
And that's something that happens in these natural disaster situations. I know that when you have big ice storms, when you have tornadoes like the one that hit Tech, Wisconsin, mm-hmm. like the one that hit a few years ago, I'm trying to remember the city in Wisconsin that was devastated by one. It was the same day or same week, I believe, that the one that hit North Minneapolis a few years ago.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And they couldn't, you know, you don't have enough people that can get to the location locally. So you get people from the region, from Iowa, from Minnesota, from mm-hmm. Michigan, from Illinois, from
right.
Missouri. And the Dakotas
all
from all
it.
Over
it's just wonderful.
And come in. And
but here's my fear about this. My fear, and the reason I'm bringing this up, if you've got the top 1%ers that want to buy up all of this land and start all over again, it's really going to change the landscape of everyone, of their culture.
Yeah.
Everything is going to be changed. Some of the people will never get back to those islands, right? And then for it to be taken over and to become something else. When you've got this article about rent control, right? You've got this article where these people are fighting to make sure that they have a chance. And then you see this devastation, and then you hear that little story that not many people are talking about, where they said, yeah, well, people are just poised to go in there and buy up this property and turn it into what they want for the super rich. I cannot tell you how that gave me chills too, you know? Just my skin crawled because these people have been displaced. This is their homeland where they were born and raised, their family, their culture, everything there, and they could all be displaced. Really quite a remarkable story. If you get a chance, check this story out about rent control. It's eye-opening, and I really hope they can succeed in some of the things that they are trying to do. By the way, in New York and San Francisco, rent control has been criticized for doing just what they're trying to do here. Yet other places have taken more flexible approaches to rent control than simply establishing a price ceiling and telling landlords to divorce themselves from the love of money. And that's all from the article. I've been reading directly from the article. Check it out, because I really think it's saying a whole lot. You might not agree with it, but it needs to be said. It needs to be discussed, because we are literally working the working poor, where you have affordable housing. It's just being worked out of the equation from city, metropolitan city to metropolitan city around the country. If nothing else, we ought to have a little bit for everyone in all metropolitan areas. That's what I believe. I think we're better when we live together. No matter if we're right on the brink of poverty or if we are the super rich, we ought to be able to live together. But that's a city girl talking, right? Right. It's been an interesting night. I take a deep breath And I still think about the goodness of who we are as people. So head up, heart open. You're listening to Still Talking. I'm your host, Geraldine Steele. Coming up next, Center Stage.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.